You have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 43 with me. Last Sunday afternoon, the church board and myself and Dr. Roland met, and we conducted a two-year pastoral review that is mandatory by the church government and bylaws and all that kind of stuff. So I went home, I told my wife we don't have to worry about renting a moving truck or anything like that, because we got a unanimous vote from the board to stay on and continue to be your pastor, and that call is for 4 years, so we won't have to go through that process again for another 4 years. Four more years. No, listen. I was kind of put up to that. I won't tell you by whom. But we're honored and privileged to be here and serve as your pastor. We love you. We love this church. We love this community. And I'm so thankful that God brought us here. And I was thinking this week, following that review and some of the things that the board discussed, a very, very positive meeting, and some great, great things came out of that meeting. And you're going to be seeing and hearing about some new things and some new opportunities to be involved in. But I got to thinking about how God could use this point in time and this pastoral recall and kind of evaluation to kind of fit into a sermon and a message for you today. So I want us to think about this idea of moving forward together. Do you understand that in order for this church, in order for us to move forward and make progress and grow and do what God calls us to do, it takes all of us working together? It's not just you. It's not just the church board. It's not just the pastor. It takes all of us working together in order to accomplish the mission that God has for us. So I want us to think about some things that we need to do together as a church in order to move forward and go where we feel like God is calling us to go. And interestingly enough, we're going to find some words about that in the scripture reading. And so I want to start with Isaiah 43, beginning with verse 14. And here's what scripture says. The Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, says, for your sakes I will send an invading army against Babylon, and the Babylonians will be forced to flee in those ships that they are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses, and I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home. I will create rivers for them in the desert. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, and the jackals and ostriches too, for giving them water in the wilderness. Yes, I will make springs in the desert, so that my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. But my dear people, you refuse to ask for my help. You have grown tired of me. You have not brought me lambs for burnt offerings. You have not honored me with sacrifices, though I have not burdened and wearied you with my requests for grain offerings and incense. You have not brought me fragrant incense or pleased me with the fat from sacrifices. Instead, you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your faults. I alone am the one who blots out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Let us review the situation together and you can present your case if you have one. From the very beginning, your ancestors sinned against me. All your leaders broke my laws, and that is why I have disgraced your priests and assigned Israel a future of complete destruction and shame. But now listen to me, Jacob, my servant, Israel, my chosen one. The Lord who made you and helps you says, O Jacob, my servant, do not be afraid. O Israel, my chosen one, do not fear, for I will give you abundant water to quench your thirst and to moisten your parched fields. And I will pour out my spirit and my blessings on your children, and they will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. Some will proudly claim, I belong to the Lord. Others will say, I am a descendant of Jacob. Some will write the Lord's name on their hands and will take the honored name of Israel as their own. God, this is your word. I just ask you to use it for your purpose and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. What do we need to do? What do all of us need to work together to do in order to move forward? Here's one of the things that we have to do. We need to learn to remember and celebrate the past for the right reasons and right purposes. God starts off this passage of Scripture and he reminds Israel of who he is and what he's done. I am the one who brought you out of Egypt. I am the one who created a dry path across the bottom of the Red Sea for you. I am the one who drew Egyptian soldiers and their horses and the people who were chasing you and trying to take your life. I'm the one that drew them into the sea and then covered them over with water and caused them to drown. Their lives were snuffed out like a candle wick. God's reminding them of the great things that he has done. Why? See, there's some, if you want to argue it, there's some contradiction in here. But I think when we understand the purpose of God, there's not a contradiction at all. He's reminding Israel, who is still being held captive in exile by Babylon at the time. That's why God's promising to send an army against Babylon. And he's reminding them of all the things he's already done to deliver them. And I think sometimes it's good for us to look back and be reminded of all the things that God has done for us and all the ways that God has helped us and the ways that he has been with us and helped us through some of the greatest struggles and the greatest trials we have ever faced. Because we never would have gotten through it alone. But there's a past and a history, a heritage that needs to be remembered. I printed this, I had Karen print this in the bulletin for you just so you would have this quote from William Barclay. Let's read it together. He says, no generation starts from scratch. Every generation enters into the heritage and the past has left it. Every man enters into a heritage of civilization, of liberty, of freedom, a heritage which was bought at the cost of the agony and the toil and the death of those who went before him. It is our duty to remember those who made life what it is for us today. A lot of times in Scripture, you find out throughout all the Old Testament, you'll find several times God reminding Israel of his great and miraculous ways and the ways that he's helped them. We read it earlier. I opened the way through the waters. I made a dry path through the sea. We've talked about that. He's reminding them of his deliverance. And as I said, we need to be reminded of that as well. We need to remember how God helps us. But we also need to remember and be reminded of those who've gone before us to make our life what it is. We need to be reminded of those who have kind of set the stage for us. And I want us to think about maybe a little bit about those people in our life. Maybe it was a father. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was grandparents. Who has been that person in your life who was an incredible spiritual influence on you that caused you to have a desire to follow after and serve Christ? You see, let's stop and think about the heritage and the history of this church for just a minute. Why does this church exist here today? You know why? Because at some point, God placed in the mind the idea in the minds of a few people, God placed the idea and he birthed the passion in their heart to start a Church of the Nazarene in Shipshewana, Indiana. God gave the vision. The second reason we are here today is because some of those people that God birthed that vision in decided they were going to be obedient and they were going to, maybe it meant leaving another church, maybe it meant doing some things, but whatever it was, God called them to do something and they decided they were going to be obedient and start the Church of the Nazarene in Shipshewana, and here we are today. We need to be reminded of those who have gone before and made it possible for us to be here, gathered in this place, in this sanctuary. It gave you a place to attend church. It gave us a place to minister and pastor with you. It gives all of us a chance to make a difference in this community through the church here that someone sacrificed for and established years and years ago. Part of remembering our past is to remember the successes that we've had. We need to take a few moments to remember some success. Why? Because success leads us to have courage to try new things, doesn't it? If we're successful in one thing, then that gives us a little more confidence that we can go ahead and do other new things. Sometimes it does us good to remember our failures. You think, I don't want to remember my failures. Well, I don't really either, but you know what? Remembering my failure teaches me a lesson. If I use that failure as a learning experience, failure can be a great motivator. You know, some of the most successful people, everyone has failed. Everyone has failed at some point in their life, and some of the most successful people, their success comes out of learning from the things that they tried that didn't work. Here's where I want us to be careful, though. Being reminded of our past and being reminded of our heritage, remembering those things is much different than living in the past. While taking the time to remember, we don't want to live in it. Isaiah 43:18, right after God says, I'm the God who did all this for you. Then what's he say? Forget about all that. Put it behind you. Don't think about that anymore. By living in the past, we limit ourselves to what has happened in the past. And we must remember it. We must learn from it. But we can't live in it. You know what? One of the dangers of living in the past is the past becomes our identity. If I'm not careful, my past failure becomes my identity. It becomes who I am. I look at myself through the eyes of failure, and instead of seeing the things that God is doing in me and through me, and instead of seeing the things that God is doing in our church and through our church, we look at the past and we see one or two things that didn't go very well, and that's how we identify ourselves. But can I just tell you this? That's not our identity. Our identity is found in one thing, and that's who we are in Jesus Christ. It's not about whether I was successful as a pastor or whether I was successful in business. My identity is wrapped up in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. That's who I am, and that's what we need to remember in the midst of everything that's going on. So if we're going to move forward together, we need to take some time to remember those things, the good things, the bad things, not to live in them, not to dwell on it. Learn from the success that we've had and build on it. Learn from the failures that we've had and say, I'm not doing that again. We ain't going there. Just not going to do it. Here's the second thing we have to do if we're going to move forward together as a church. We have to reach for the promise of the future. We have to learn to reach for the promise of the future. I want you to just listen to a few verses that have promise in them for us, would you? Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says this, call to me. There's the first thing. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Why don't we see new things happening? Why don't we see new growth? Why don't we see some of these things going on? Jeremiah says, call to me. God tells Jeremiah, if you'll call to me, I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. You remember what we read just a few minutes ago? Verse 22 of Isaiah 14, or Isaiah 43, verse 22. But my dear people, you refuse to ask for my help. Maybe I'm not being as effective as I would like to be in my own life and ministry because I'm trying to do it all in my own power and I refuse to ask for God's help. Maybe we're not being as effective as we would like to be as a church because we're trying to do it all in our own power and we refuse to ask for God's help. God tells Isaiah that the reason that they've experienced some of the things they've experienced is they refuse to ask for help. And here we see God telling Isaiah, if you'll just call to me, I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know yet. Is that not an incredible promise? How do we experience it? We call to him and wait and see what great and mighty things he's wanting to show us. Jeremiah 29:11, we all know this one. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I know there are a lot of people today, if you'd listen to a lot of theologians and a lot of the smart people in the church world, they'll tell you this doesn't even apply to us. This was the promise strictly for Israel during the time of their... I know that's when the promise was given. But you can't tell me that we can't claim the promises of God today. You just can't tell me. I believe the promises of God are for his people and his church. And I still believe the words of Jeremiah 29:11 are as real now as they were then. I know the plans I have for you. You think God doesn't have a plan for us? You think God doesn't have a plan for you? He does. He has a plan for your life. And he has a plan for my life. He has a plan for the life of this church. But we need to reach out for that promise. We need to take God at his word. Here's the problem. Some people, you know, sometimes we can never see God's promises for the future because we're always too busy looking back and longing for the past. I wish church was like it was in the good old days. Listen, I can understand that. I can relate to that. But you know what? We don't live in the good old days anymore. And if we limit ourselves to what God's already done, we're never going to be able to see what he's wanting to do and what he's even doing right now. God says, I've started it already. Do you not perceive it? How many new and different things? How many ways is God working in us and through us and in the community right around us? And we don't see it because we're not even looking for it. We're looking back here. Well, I wish I could. I remember that camp meeting 25 years ago. I wish we could have another one like that. I'm just here to tell you this morning that if this church, and one of the things we're going to, one of the things I feel led to do, you keep seeing in the bulletin Wednesday night, where you're going to have more information coming. Here's one of the things that we're going to be doing on Wednesday nights, and we're going to probably start in the next couple of weeks. We're going to focus on some prayer time. Because I can tell you this, Dr. Brian Powell is not going to bring revival with him in a briefcase. But Dr. Brian Powell, I can tell you this, our evangelist for Nova, you say, why are we advertising this 2 months in advance? Because we need to be praying about it. Because if we do our part, all you got to do is go look him up on Facebook and look at all the things that God is doing and that the Holy Spirit's doing on the district that he leads. And the reason God is working through the district in Kentucky is because they focus everything on prayer. I can tell you this, if we would come prepared instead of worrying about what happened 20 years ago, if we would pray up and put that on our calendar now and be praying every day between now and then for revival with Dr. Powell and the Elmores, well, we can have one of those revivals that we can look back and say, boy, I wish we could have a revival like we had there. But too many times we're so busy stuck looking at the things from behind us and not being able to get over some of the things that have happened that we can't even see what God's trying to do in the middle of our lives right now. We read this earlier. Isaiah chapter 44, verses 3 and 4 says this, I will give you abundant water. See, God doesn't do anything halfway. I will give you abundant water to quench your thirst and to moisten your parched fields, and I will pour out my spirit and my blessings. You know what it looks like when we pour something? It's just like all coming out at once. God says, I'll give you abundant water. I will pour out my spirit and my blessings on your children, and they will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. The promises of God. We need to know what they are, and we need to reach for them. We need to reach for them together. But how do we do that? We call out to God. We cry out to God. We seek God with all of our heart. And then we see the promise by redirecting our focus from what has been to what could be and what God is already doing and what we expect Him to do. We move forward together by remembering some things from the past, by reaching for the promises of the future. But here's something we are liable to forget if we're not careful. Here's the third thing we need to do if we're going to move forward together. We need to recognize and capitalize on the opportunities that we have right now. We need to recognize and capitalize on the present opportunities. I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I have already began. Do you not see it? Let's take advantage of the opportunities God gives us now. Let's not spend so much time living in the past or longing for the future that we miss what God's doing today. I believe that what we do as a church and as Christians each and every day affects every tomorrow. What I do or don't do today could have a profound impact in my life or in the lives of others tomorrow. God's doing things right now. He's making ways through the desert. He's making streams in the wasteland, in the wilderness. And if we're not careful, we're going to miss it. Ephesians 5:16 says, make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these days of evil. Do we live in days of evil? My goodness. But Scripture tells us we are supposed to make the most of every opportunity of doing good, not get caught up in all the other junk that's going on. You know how easy it is to get caught up in all the stuff that's going on? Turn on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. I don't even know how any of that stuff works. A lot of times lately, I've just wanted to turn off Facebook, and I've tried not to spend as much time on it because so much of the junk that we see in the world going on around us can affect us in a negative way, but we need to make the most of every opportunity for doing good. Then I want you to look at Revelation chapter 3. We're going to finish up. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true. He is the one who has the key of David. He opens doors, and no one can shut them. And he shuts doors, and no one can open them. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can shut. Present opportunities represent open doors. God says, I've placed before you an open door. What is the open door that God has placed before us here at Shipshawana Church of the Nazarene? What is that open door that is just there waiting for us to walk through and see what's on the other side? What opportunity is that? What calling is that? What thing in our community could we get involved in that represents an open door for us to go and share the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ? You see, God is giving us opportunities to make a difference each and every day, and we can't afford to miss those. It might be an opportunity to witness to someone. It might be an opportunity to help someone in need or to experience a special blessing from God. See, we can and should be a church that remembers our heritage. We can and should be a church that reaches for those promises that God has for our future. But let's make sure that we strive to be a church that recognizes and responds to the opportunities that God gives us right here, right now. I don't have any idea whether the gentleman I was talking with this past week at the flea market was a Christian or not. I was out helping the flea market, Michael and them park cars, because, you know, when all the high school students and college students go back, that's a lot of the people that they use, and then he gets desperate and scrapes the bottom of the barrel and calls me. I helped this couple park, and I was watching as he got out of the truck, and he came around to the back of the truck, and I really don't know how he gets this thing loaded and unloaded on his own to begin with, but he came around the back of his pickup truck, and he let the tailgate down, and I could see what he was doing. He had one of the electric wheelchair scooters in the back of his truck. And it was kind of a slow time right there. I had an opportunity, and maybe that was a God thing. I said, can I help you with that? And he kind of looked at me like he was surprised. He said, well, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. So I reached in the back of this gentleman's truck, and I helped him pull his electric wheelchair out, motorized scooter out, got it on the ground, helped put it together so his wife could get in it. Make the most of every opportunity to do good in these days of evil. I thought of that. That scripture came to my mind that day for whatever reason. I wasn't doing anything to show off. I'm not telling you that story to show off. I'm just here to tell you that the most simple things, sometimes the things that are most simple to us are a huge deal to somebody else. Take those opportunities. You say, what was spiritual about that? I don't know. I don't know if there's anything spiritual about it. I just felt like I should do it, and I did it. So it helped somebody. That's kind of how we need to live. Make the most of the opportunities that we have in the here and now. I may never see that gentleman again. I don't know. All I know is I was in the right place at the right time to do something to make a little difference in his life. And maybe, just maybe, that's what God wants each and every one of us to do. I want to challenge us this morning. I just want to encourage us. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. I'm not going to have everybody come forward to the altar or anything like that. I just want to ask you this morning, as we begin this new season, a renewed season of ministry together, are you ready and willing to do whatever it takes for us to move forward together as a church that can make a difference and make an impact in Shipshewana and LaGrange County? Let's work together. Let's do what God asks us to do. Let's just be faithful to Him and faithful to one another and be ready to move forward and do whatever that takes together as a team.